Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster. We're off and running, Tom Fairbanks. Sounds like we're at the racetrack or something, off and running with the show today.
That's your characterization. So is that what you have in mind?
Yep. We got a lot, a lot of content to get to here in this hour on the first full day of spring. It's Wednesday, March 20th, 2024.
Did you get into why spring came a day early this year?
I didn't, but I think I talked a little bit. Well, you were not working with me yesterday.
No.
John was here.
Yeah.
But I did mention that spring, the equinox, came at about 8 o'clock in Tucson, and it was the earliest since 1896, and I'm not quite sure why that is.
Yeah, you know, we're one day short this year.
Yeah,
because this is a leap year, so that's the reason why we're a day earlier.
There you go. Thank you, sir. We're in our 14th year with our radio project. 36 years now for me here in Tucson Media. We're coming to you from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, which is part of the campus. 1030 KVOI, The Voice, part of the campus of the growing presence of Bustos Media in Tucson. We have 5 radio stations now under 1 roof. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, which is the place for all of our podcasts. 13 years of programming is easy to find, all easily archived. The live line for our telephone interviews is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We welcome back to the Buckmaster Show the mayor of the city of Tucson, Rahina Romero. Mayor, how are you?
Good afternoon. How are you? Thank you for having me, Bill.
Oh, well, it was a pleasure. You are the 42nd mayor. Did you realize that?
We were debating that morning, actually, whether I was the 41st or the 42nd.
No, here's the way it goes. 42nd mayor, first ever female, first ever Latina mayor of the city of Tucson. You're in your second four-year term, but you were on the Tucson City Council for a dozen years before becoming mayor. You come from a large family. You're one of 6 kids, a native of Somerton, Arizona, which is kind of like...
it's a farm working community about 15 minutes from the border.
Yeah.
In the Yuma area.
Yeah. So Yuma County, right?
Yuma County.
Okay. All right. So we've got a couple of personnel items that we need to talk about. First of all, the city manager will be Tim Tomier. I've known Tim quite a while. I've known him. I first met him when he was involved with Tucson Water. When it comes to water, I can't think of a better person to have.
He's a water genius.
He is. I mean,
a wonderful administrator and has the most amazing sense of humor.
He does.
Which is something that is really good in this field because there's a lot of seriousness to this field. But Tim Tomier has been dedicating his life for the last, I think it's 10 years to the city of Tucson. He started as the Tucson Water Director and then moved up as assistant city manager under
Ortega. Kind of being
Ortega.
Just groomed for this position. So it is unusual that the council doesn't go out for a full-blown search. But in this situation, I'm all in on Tim. I think that's the right pick. And I can't, in my 36 years here in town, I can't remember where we did it like that. But this is, I think, an exception.
Well, and the city manager, Michael Ortega, I have been requesting of him that he build the bench, that he have a succession
plan. In his
cabinet,
yeah.
And as the responsible person that Mr. Ortega is, he has a really diverse cabinet. And Tim, jumped in wherever he was needed, jumped in as the interim of parks when we didn't have a parks director, jumped in as an interim of planning and development services department director, helped with general services. I mean, he has proven himself. And, he also was part of our team when we started the pandemic. And he's been an incredible support system. Yeah. He believes in the vision of mayor and council, and he's a doer.
And
why go out when...
When things are working. He does get stuff done. There's no question.
And by the way, stability and steadiness in terms of the team does not mean stagnation. I know that he will innovate. I know that he will do things his way with the principles and the ethics that Mr. Ortega has taught him, and why delay a decision when we know we have an incredible person and the next city manager in Tim Tamir?
And Tim will take over early June.
I did give him advice and feedback in terms of doing a tour of the city with all the council colleagues, just to see on the ground what their needs are, what their vision is, meet with neighborhoods and other stakeholders.
Listening tour before,
before
he takes over in early June. And he will be my guest on the Friday Focus Roundtable the last Friday in May, right before he takes over. I was just talking to him yesterday about
it. That's wonderful.
Steve Kasachek, we all know Steve K. I was surprised about this, but, you know, whatever Steve feels best for him, he's moving on. He will become Pima County's manager of this planned, it's a massive deal called the Mosaic Quarter. It's a sports complex on the south side. It will have some hockey rinks, some basketball courts, but there'll be some restaurants, but it's a huge deal. But he has now submitted his resignation, so the end of this month... he's gone, and now Ward 6, that seat, the Midtown, which is really an important ward. Let's face it. You got the city of Tucson is there, Davis-Monthan, Reed Park. It's kind of the center of the city and the wards.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
It's a big deal. So how is that? How does this work?
Well, I first want to thank Councilmember Kasachek for his 15 years of service to Tucson. I always appreciated that he showed up ready, well-informed, with very smart questions, and he did an amazing job with constituent services. So that's absolutely what we want in a council member, and so I thank him for his service. Last night, as a matter of fact, we made these both decisions to make sure that we have continuation and that our employees and the community feel as though we know exactly what we're doing, which we do. I suggested to my colleagues on the council that we accept applicants. Anyone that qualifies for that seat, you must be a Ward 6 resident and at least lived in the city for at least 3 years. We're going to be opening up the process for whomever is interested. They need to apply from April 1st through the 15th, at least 2 weeks, we're asking interested candidates to submit a letter of interest and their resume. I believe that we should have a person of the same party, whomever is vacating the
seat. Although the charter, I just checked that. Yeah, I was surprised.
It does not
say that. It's not in the charter. I mean, it could be a person of either party or even an independent.
I would prefer that we fill it with a person... that is of the party of the person leaving, because those are the, you know, what voters wanted. We are also asking that individuals who are interested submit a letter of interest and let us know if they're interested in running for the Ward 6 council seat position in 2025 or not, because there are also people that are saying, you know what, I can take care of this seat.
Like a placeholder.
And to be honest with you, I like that concept only because I don't want to put my hand on the scale.
It does give someone an inside track.
Yes. And my preference, since we are working on our budget right now as we speak, it would be nice to have someone that has knowledge of our budget systems and
But maybe someone necessarily that has no eyes on like standing for election
in 2025.
Right.
I mean,
so you're saying that's your preference. Yeah.
My preference.
Yeah, your personal.
And what I, you know, defined yesterday to my colleagues on the council was that we should rank. We should rank the candidates from 1 to 4 mm-hmm. individually mm-hmm. and then have the city clerk, you know, mm-hmm. Do the tabulation and mm-hmm. and invite those 4 candidates to speak at a special meeting of the mayor and council. And we can invite the community, especially sure. the residents of Ward 6, to hear what, you know, these individuals might have
it makes sense.
To say.
Yeah.
And we want to fill it out quickly. By the end of April, I want to be able to have a replacement for Ward 6.
Yeah, because the budget is looming. It's coming right up. Is this going to be a tough budget year?
No, we are actually on our way to have a balanced budget. Mm-hmm. What we're cringing about is next year, 26 and 27, possibly mm-hmm. 28, only because the flat tax that the state legislature passed is really affecting our state shared revenue coming to Tucson. Just because of that flat tax, we're losing about $27 million in yeah. the next fiscal year.
Yeah, that's
and
what we
it's
heard.
Not
we,
because of the economy.
No, we were interviewing ASU economist Dennis Hoffman, and he said the same thing. The flat tax, by the time now it gets to the municipalities,
it is killing municipalities.
There's not much in the cupboard.
Well, and you know, it's enraging to me as the mayor of Tucson. We've worked so hard to balance our budget, to save money, to have rainy day funds, to be good stewards of the taxpayers' funds. We have given historic investment into the pay for our police, fire, every employee in our city. And then just to have the state legislature steal $24 to $27 million because it's going to trickle down some way, shape, or form. It is irresponsible, and it is really hitting the pocketbooks of cities and towns. And this is funds that we use to pay our police officers, yeah. to hire new firefighters,
it's
to buy their
have a big
apparatus,
impact.
To pay for our streets, to have trash services, to have park investments. They are claiming they're cutting taxes, but they're putting it on the backs of cities. And it is very, very enraging because it's not the economy. Mm-mm. The economy is healthy. We've seen a growth of 3.35% increase every year, year after year. It is not that. It is the flat tax that the state that Republicans and the state legislature and our Republican governor passed, and it was signed. And it's definitely not trickling down to cities.
All right. We'll have more with Mayor Rahina Romero. But right now, Mayor, I want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. I bet you could go for a Danish right about now.
Oh, my goodness. I love bread.
Home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's now serving liquor as well. They do have a liquor license, and so you could have a beer with your lunch. They're open right now for lunch. And if you still want to do breakfast, you could have a mimosa with your champagne and orange juice. They have this added enhancement that they're very excited about. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. I was up at Mona's. I try to get up there every weekend. I was up there this weekend, very, very busy. And Steve, the owner, was very pleased. And I said, Steve, there's a pretty good crowd here. And he said, yeah, Bill, a lot of people are hearing me talk about the place. And it's paying off. All right, we'll take a break right here. Mayor Romero is next, right after the break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, My air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. First full day of spring. We are off and running. It is our midweek edition of the program. Boy, not only does the noon hour go fast, but the week goes fast already at Wednesday. By the way, our Friday Focus interview this week, Tim Steller will be with me from The Star. We're going to be interviewing Damian Klinka. Damian always has a lot to say about preservation in the city of Tucson. He's been great mayor, and he's been very vocal about the UA, University of Arizona, and the preserving the farm.
Campus farms.
We all like driving on Campbell and then taking a look at the sheep and what other animals are out there. Kind of makes us feel like we're in a rural area.
It's an important piece of property to preserve because it's an urban rural area all at the same time, and it has history. And I think the neighbors and the community deserve to be able to have that for generations to come. I love Damian. He's so smart.
He is smart, and he's always got interesting things to say. So Tim and I will look forward to talking with him. That's coming up Friday. But right now, we continue with our interview with Mayor Romero. We do have the RTA Next program on the table, and you're one of the nine members on the Regional Transportation Authority Board that is going to have to make some decisions about RTA Next. So let me cut to the chase. What does the city want to see out of this program to make it move forward?
Well, thanks to the leadership of Mr. Ortega, Michael Ortega, our city manager, and my sitting at the table at the RTA board, we've made it perfectly clear what we need as a community. We spend a lot of time engaging with a community and passed a strategic plan for transit and transportation issues with Move Tucson. We know what our community wants, and we know our community wants transit. We know our community wants complete streets, which means that they want streets that can carry transit, our bus systems. They want a bus rapid transit. They want safe streets for pedestrians and bicyclists because we kill way too many people in our streets in Tucson. So it is a modernization of the roads that can include all modes of transportation and some expansion, but mostly modernization and preservation of the assets that have been created before by RTA. So we put all our cards on the table. My colleagues, my fellow mayors of other jurisdictions, they know what we want. And it's been a difficult road getting to a place where I, as the mayor of Tucson, and especially Mr. Ortega, the city manager, recently came out with a letter to mayor and council basically saying, I do not feel as though I can recommend that the city of Tucson stay with the RTA next.
In its current form.
So I've spent the last 4 years trying to negotiate with my fellow mayors and other jurisdictions that sit at the table, basically saying this is what we need. This is approximately how much the residents of Tucson produce in sales taxes, and this is the type of return on investment that we need. That's the only way that I can sell a half-cent sales tax for the next 20 years to the voters of Tucson.
If they were to come along with everything you just said, you would be able to sell that
there
to
There is absolutely, absolutely.
You'd there's, be able to sell that to
I would be able to say, if I can, if I and my city manager can say, this is a good deal, and there is a lot of value in regionalism. There's a lot of value in regionalism because infrastructure many times are shared, right? But we've got to be able to tell our voters this is a good return on your investment in terms of sales taxes. And this is very close to what you have told us you need in an RTA next plan.
What about transit, improvements in transit? I just had a listener wanted me to ask you about improvements in transit and wanted you to quickly comment on that.
We've been very lucky to have been receiving federal funds so that we can pay for a lot of transit investments and improvements, right? And through the pandemic, we worked with SunTran Management and SunLink Management, SunVan as well, and the drivers, the union that represents the drivers. And they wanted us to stop charging. So we stopped charging in our transit system. And so what we saw is that the city of Tucson, because we were not charging fares, we didn't lose the type of ridership that other cities throughout the country did. And it protected our drivers from COVID because they didn't have to get close to people. And it allowed people to get to school and work and their medical appointments and whatever they need to use the transit for. So most recently, we received more than $21 million to purchase electric buses from the Biden-Harris administration through the Inflation Reduction Act. So we're doing a lot of investments in our transit. We are planning for a bus rapid transit system on Stone Avenue, which is the preferred route that our community wants. We are currently talking about, do we keep a fare-free transit system? And it has been so good and convenient. And we're there, right? We've put the amount of money on our budget so that we can continue this at least for this calendar year. And we have gone to the University of Arizona, to TUSD, to Pima Community College to say, this is actually good for the environment. It's good to take cars off our streets, and it's good for your students, faculty, and staff.
Coming up, prosperity, is that going to be your big issue?
Prosperity. My
I mean, people
focus...
always say this is a poor town. They've been saying it since I was first came out here from Chicago to go to school in the late 60s. And then when I came back in 1988, they've been saying it again. And they always say it. You know it. You've been around.
Absolutely.
You didn't get off the bus yesterday. They always say it's such a poor town.
Uh-huh. Well, and I'll tell you, they're not far away from the truth. Poverty in Pima County and the city of Tucson has always larger rates than other areas of Arizona. That's why for me, I've been working for many, many years to make sure that we're getting to the root causes of poverty, right? And we just worked with Pima County, actually Councilmember Lane Santa Cruz partnered with Pima County and Poverty Now Program Director Bonnie Bazzara, and they said, we've got to target what is causing poverty and how, what policies do we need to create to lift people into prosperity and create wealth.
A joint city county prosperity.
Pima County, City of Tucson Prosperity Initiative that has a set of policy guidelines and goals that we need to focus on. And this is all research-based, data-driven decision-making that shows that can pull people out of poverty. We want to make sure that we include the business community and different stakeholders in our community so that together Pima County and the city of Tucson can focus on these goals. Since I first started in the city council, we moved from a 25% poverty percentage in the city of Tucson. We're down to 18 or 19, but we can do this. This is something that we need to work together on, and that's one of my focuses.
Mayor Romero,
in my next 4 years.
Thank you.
Thanks. You so much.
Have a great
afternoon.
Appreciate
you,
okay.
Bill.
Bye-bye.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Man, a lot of content today to get into 1 hour, but thanks to our great sponsors who make it possible, we're able to do it, like Green Things. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, Green Things 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. We are having the most beautiful spring, winter and spring that I can recall in 36 years. Maybe there might have been one or two that were just equally as beautiful, but it's great for doing some spring gardening. Check out Green Things, their website, greenthingsaz.com, sister business is zocalovillage.com. Jan and Jack, the owners, have done just a fabulous job with their 13-acre property. All right, our live line for our telephone interviews. We're not utilizing the live line for the interviews today, but I do want to do a shout out to the folks that sponsor it, Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Time to welcome General Ted Maxwell back to the show from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, where he is the CEO, and I'm looking for his official introduction.
Actually, Bill, this will give us more time if you don't go through that introduction.
I won't go through the whole thing, but I'll just say CEO since 2018, because you know I do have a full proper intro for you and about all your military service. I'll just say thank you for your military service.
Absolutely.
But I do want to point out, of course, the Arizona Department of Transportation, where you were the representative on that board, seven-member board. Then, of course, you're the representative for ADOT on the nine-member Regional Transportation Authority Board. And we're going to probably start with that, following up with the mayor's comments. But I do want to plug your radio show at 9 a.m. Weekdays here on KVOI. And that's going well for you?
It's been great, Bill.
Learned some things from the Buckmaster?
There's no doubt. I've tried to take a lot of the things I've seen, how you handle the hour. I think the uniqueness of that show is it's 5 days, five different hosts. Although Ed Ackley's doing the Monday and the Friday show, you've got myself, Grant Kruger, and Tom with the Arizona Attractions Organization that highlight two sides. We all take a little different take on the issues. And my hour on Tuesdays, the engagement hour, the jump in Tucson, as we say, people need to jump in and get involved, and that's what I encourage to do and try to bring on guests that have
like
done
Mayor
that.
Murphy from Sahuarito was your guest this week,
and Mayor Murphy encapsulated so many different avenues. He served 20 years in the military. He served on a school board. He then decided to run for elected office. Yeah. And you don't have to run for elected office to get involved. There's nonprofits that help support. There's volunteerism. It's just important that as a country and citizens in what is truly the greatest country in the world, and for sure in my opinion, and I think there's a lot to back that up, you need to get involved. You need to be able to step up and be heard. And sometimes it's just life will prevent you from doing anything other than being an informed, active voter and participant in our election systems. But
that's what's nice about Tucson. People do get involved.
Absolutely.
From what I heard the mayor talk about, and I think you were able to maybe catch some of the interview with Mayor Romero, here's what she and the city want. And she said if they get this, they're all in on RTA Next right now. Let's see if I can summarize it. Pavement modernization, transit, complete streets, I think is the general category, which includes transit. Your reaction to what you heard?
The city's been very clear. They've done an outstanding job of literally listing the items in the order they want. They know that the city's been clear, but from the Move Tucson program, just to even their recent creation of this list. And I think they're going to get there. One of the big issues that came up in Mike Ortega's his memorandum to the council was very clear. We just did a study, and if we do a half cent on our own, we're getting 1.6 you know, $1 billion over 20 years. Well, our study for what we're planning on going forward with for the RTA based on the pessimistic views, almost 2 years old, and it was only at 2.3. So right now, I think the city had calculated they'd be getting about $1.1 billion worth of funding and projects and over the life. And that's a lot of money left on the table. That said, we've asked George Hammond to give us, and he's going to bring it back hopefully by our next
U of A economic prognosticator, predictor with Eller College. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Thank you for giving him his full due. Mm-hmm. And he's going to come back with the numbers. I think we're going to come in a lot higher than the 2.3 we're at. And then it's going to be a matter of, we've got two plans on the table right now. One's the Citizens Advisory Committee 4.2. They had forwarded two. I don't want people to understand there had been two plans of Citizens Advisory Committee that came out of the Citizens Advisory Committee to us, and we're still have 4.2. And one was the one that was modified by the Technical Management Committee, and that's probably the one that the city's more favorable of. Some of the other mayors are more favorable of the CAC 4.2 version. But right now, we don't know what our total funding is. We've got to get it right. Mm-hmm. Whatever we finally put out to the citizens, and I mean, when we enter 9 months of citizen input on the RT plan, we have to have the dollar amount we think's realistic. We have to have the projects we think's realistic. And then we've got to go listen to the citizens and get their feedback.
But you're not that far away on
We're
the
not.
Dollar.
It's, I'm really comfortable, Bill, with saying that, comfortable. For where we sit, and we know we're at a roadblock right now, let's get the new funding, see what the new predictions are, and then we'll go forward, and we'll be able to get there. It's important for all the municipalities to understand that what's good for the city of Tucson's good for the region, and what's good for the municipalities good for the city of Tucson and therefore the region. So it's really, we get sometimes bogged down, and what we forget is not only do all the municipalities rely on each other, but there's also 34% of or 36% of the citizens in Pima County live in unincorporated Pima County.
Yes.
So if all the municipalities went on their own, all of them, if they all said, fine, we can just do our own thing, there's 34% of the citizens have no representation or access to funding.
No.
Because the likelihood of the county board of supervisors, which requires a 5-0 vote to have a half-cent sales tax, of implementing one on their own is highly unlikely. And remember, when they implement one, it includes all the municipalities. So it's duplicative, it's additive. The RTA has, without the RTA, during particularly the recession of 2008 and during the other economic challenges we've had, our infrastructure economy would not have continued to go along. There were a lot of jobs and projects that moved forward during that recession when there was not a lot of desire to create new employment and kept our economy going. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about roads, infrastructure, transit, and how we get around. It's really about showing we're willing to make an investment in our region.
And you really can't do this without the city of Tucson, can you?
Oh, you
I
can't.
I mean, you can't put it to a vote. I just had a listener say, why not put it to a vote without the city? Well,
that's a scenario that we'd rather not play out, because the fact of the matter is, in 2006, which is the first time, there's been 20-year regional plans up in Maricopa for a lot longer. Mm-hmm. That's why they've got crosstown freeways. That's why they've got this economic boom. There's a lot of things. And I'm not telling you that I want to turn Tucson into Phoenix, because I turned down the opportunity to go to Phoenix to remain in Tucson, because this is home. This is where I want to be. But if we don't get all of the mayors on board, and, you know, this morning at the meeting with SALC, where Mayor Romero and City Manager Ortega
just came from that meeting.
They, you know, Mike Ortega said his goal is a 7-0 council vote on the RTA. Hmm. My goal right now is a 9-0 vote of all the members of the RTA for the plan. Mm-hmm. That is what we need to see, because we need every municipality at the table. I think if any one or any two of the municipalities or the county or obviously the city of Tucson said, we're not for this, it's going to be nearly impossible to get passed.
And there's no white knight from the state, is there?
There's not. it's, you know, there is
anybody riding into town that's got a ton of money?
This November, Maricopa is facing their continuation of their regional sales tax for transportation. If it fails, that region's in immediate problems, particularly supporting their transit, because it will cripple the current program that 7% of the county riders in Maricopa rely on. People don't realize if we do not reauthorize this, it's not just about building the roads. It's about continuing the expansion. The city would be forced to reduce SunTran significantly in their ridership unless they went alone. But if they go alone, then you lose all the intersections on all the TIs on Interstate 10. You lose the roads. The city of Tucson's where the activity occurs in this region. But without a regional plan, we're not going to be as attractive to economic development. We're not going to be as attractive to continued growth. We're not going to be able to deal with the issues that are directly related to the prosperity project that you heard about, that's all based on having good investment in our infrastructure.
All right. Well, I'm more with General Ted Maxwell. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition. We'll take a break right here. A lot more to talk with the general about right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Spring in the land of enchantment. So beautiful in the Gila National Wilderness. Worth a three-hour drive over to Silver City. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, and you will be very tempted by many outdoor activities, including some very... Well, you got the hikes in the Gila, and then you got the Cliff Dwellers National Monument just north of Silver City, southwestnewmexico.org for more information. Ted Maxwell is here. General Maxwell is the CEO of an organization called the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. It's a group of 160 CEOs and community leaders. And your organization, General, put out a news release on Monday calling for the federal government to keep funding local efforts to support asylum seekers because the money is running out coming up in about 2 weeks.
Bill, you're right. What we last week or a week and a half ago, Administrator Jan Lesher released a memorandum to the council that talked to the Board of Supervisors that spoke specifically at the end of March, the continued funding that they had been receiving since 2019 to support efforts like Casa de Alitas and the others who are helping the legally processed asylum seekers come into the country and then get them on their way to the sponsors they're supposed to have and to where they're supposed to go. And that's drying up. And if the memo we put out or the position we put out, the press release, was focused on the short term. And that's the short term is in the memo, Administrator Lesher cited between 400 and over 1,000 LPASs, as they're called, or the asylum seekers, would be street released. Those would be the number that they could not support
just
to help them go.
Street released. Or somewhere
else. My understanding is that the Greyhound bus station, and that's where they get dropped off, because as they are, in order to apply for asylum, they're supposed to have a plan and the capabilities to get to a host, and then the host hosts them until they can have their court date. Mm-hmm. But our position was twofold. It wasn't just keep the money coming, because that's a temporary solution. That doesn't take a long term. But we ask that the local governments all urge our federal delegation, the governor of Arizona, Pima County Board of Supervisors, mayor and council, urge folks to take this two-pronged approach, which is either to continue the funding for the services that allow us to not release these individuals and sometimes families onto the streets, and or reduce the number of individuals that you're allowing in the country to seek asylum. Because right now there's a lot of laws that require asylum seekers to come through the ports of entry, but that's not where everybody's picking up. DHS has broadened the scope, and when people enter the country not at one of the ports of entry, they are beginning their processing if they're here to seek asylum. And that is why we're facing, 1,500 plus asylum seekers daily in the southern border, and particularly in southern Arizona. I mean, Cochise County deals with it. They've already had street releases. Nogales has already had street releases. In Pima County, we haven't experienced that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Nor has Phoenix. Because when I talk to our counterparts in Phoenix and some electeds, they will go, "What are you talking about?" But Administrator Lesher pointed out, come 2 weeks, if there's not a continuation of either the funding, and they didn't say anything about or limit the numbers, we put out one of the first business groups to talk about either you've got the funding needs to keep coming or you need to limit the number of folks coming into the country because we don't have the capability to care for them. And if they become street releases, what we currently have concerns over the homeless situation in our county, could double or triple in a matter of weeks.
So Phoenix is not going to be immune to this.
If it depends, again, it depends where they send as the organizations, the Border Patrol processes the paperwork and says, you are now a recognized, legal processed asylum seeker. But at that point, it's turned over to either the NGOs, the nonprofit, or the individuals to find their way to where they're going. And if they can't, all the Border Patrol does is will release them to the streets. And that's why they take them to a Greyhound bus. That's why we had, that's one of the challenges, is there's not a good processing that the federal government does once they've said, okay, you're here legally allowed to seek asylum. Then it turns over, basically they're released on their own.
State lawmakers are doing an end around the governor. Anything that especially the Republican side of the aisle, if they believe the governor is going to veto a piece of legislation, they've been fairly quick to say, well, we'll send it to voters. It's that direct lawmakers to the voters on the ballot. What are we looking at in terms of a big ballot.
Sheer numbers, this has got potential to be one of the largest ballots, longest ballots we've seen ever. And a part, and the main driving force behind that is what you just alluded to. Obviously, there's two ways for a ballot initiative to occur. One is through the citizens' initiative direction, where citizens collect the signatures, pass mustered with the statutes and with the courts, perhaps, and they get on the ballot, and then citizens mm-hmm. vote mm-hmm. up or down. Mm-hmm. The other way is for the legislature to use these continuing resolutions, and they can come out of the House or the Senate. They only have to pass the two chambers of the legislature, and they too get forwarded to the ballot for the direct vote of the citizens in establishing laws. SLC is not a big supporter at all of that process, only because what you're seeing today is what's potential happening. There's a lot of bills that are going to be put forward through this process. I don't know if all of them will make it to the ballot, but so far there's six, and there's about another eight that are being considered. We could have, I think we're going to probably see 10 things on the ballot next year, 10 initiatives, which are well down ballot, that set laws. And, you know, we're a representative form of government. So we elect our legislators to make the laws. We elect the mayors and councils and the board of supervisors to make the laws.
So there's no checks or balances in effect if it goes directly to the voters.
Well, the checks and balances then become the citizens.
I guess it's
up to the citizen. The citizens decide.
But they'd have to a lot of times they're not going to do their homework on this. And yeah.
Bingo. Okay. You've hit the biggest challenge. You know, how many people won when you have 10 of them, and the laws could be 20, 30 pages in length.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be short. We weren't structured that laws would be put in place by a vote of the majority. We were structured that laws would be put in place by those we elect to make and then support and enforce the laws. So that's what our problem we have on a lot of these issues. And you're right. Most of them, Bill, are partisan issues. A lot of them might be moving forward because it gives the ability for the legislators to go back to their district and say, hey, I tried, couldn't get it through because it was going to get vetoed, but we sent it to the citizens. The challenge, the biggest fear, is once the voters vote yes, the only way to change those laws is to go back to the voters.
And it has to be a two-thirds majority or no?
True. Two-thirds. Well, it's two-thirds to change, and it has to be still meeting the intent of the law. So there's legal challenges that come out of it. The irony to me in this situation, and I get why they're doing it in some cases, because they feel that these issues are so important that the only way to get them addressed is because they are going to face a veto to move them direct to the citizens. But the same people that are using these are also which is the legislature, and that's would be both sides of the House, both parties, depending who is in charge, are also the ones that don't like the citizens' initiative process, which circumvents the legislature.
So how many could there be on the ballot?
As of right now, there's six that have already been approved for last session to this session.
Okay.
There's another eight that are under consideration. Yeah. No, all those won't get approved by both chambers. And there's a lot of citizens' initiatives out there, but we know there's probably three or four that will make it to the ballot.
And the big one is the women's reproductive rights one.
That's the big ones, but there's people that will tell you make elections fair is the big ones. There's another minimum wage issue that's a big
one. Wow.
The challenge of citizens' initiatives, they're really big to the people who are running them.
We're going to have you do an hour with us, certainly, when we get to that stage.
And Bill, an hour may not be enough if there's 10 of them.
Might need a whole week of talking about that if there are that many initiatives.
And Bill, to your point, that's where it gets really important, though, because getting the message out, informing the public of what the bills really do is difficult. And the more you have, a lot of times people get down ballot and they just vote no on it all.
Yeah, yeah. All right, General Ted Maxwell from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. Thank you, General Maxwell. We'll also listen to your program every Tuesday at 9 o'clock here on KVOI. Thank you, General.
I appreciate it, Bill, as always. Thank you.
All right. On behalf of General Maxwell and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster, and tomorrow we have Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott. We have our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor. And then on Friday, Tucson preservationist Damian Klinko, former state lawmaker, will be our guest on our Friday Focus interview. My guest news reporter that will be co-hosting, my friend Tim Steller. On behalf of everybody here, hope everyone is well and has a good afternoon.